Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
First of May, good evening, it's half past five and this is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news from the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, sea watch and travel updates and the newsmakers in person, including tonight, how about a national insurance rebate for low-paid workers on the island? Should the morning after pill be available across the counter on the island? More from the London Bridge attack. The UK's finally caught up with the island on mixed-sex civil partnerships. And a look at hospices, light up a life service.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the news headlines at 29 minutes to 6. Fastamai, good evening, Dolan Mercer.
Fastamai. Absolute madness. The response of Treasury Minister Alf Cannon to proposals Timwood should consider a national insurance rebate scheme for workers with a low income. Chris Robertshaw believes those earning below the living wage should be able to keep more of their own money rather than rely on benefits. It should be made as easy as possible for people to vote in elections. The view of Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, who wants to know when a public consultation on polling stations will be launched. Reproductive health is handled better on the Isle of Man than it is in the UK, according to Dr. Alex Allinson, who's been speaking on the Man in Line today about health services for women on the island. Regarded by many as the greatest Manxman of his generation, the autobiography of Dr. Brian Stoll, RBV, was published this weekend by Culture Vanin. At the launch, Manx Language Development Officer Adrian Kane paid tribute to a cornerstone of the ongoing Gaelic revival. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister, Labour leader and London Mayor were among crowds attending a vigil in the capital earlier, honouring the victims of Friday's terror attack. A service was held at the same time in Cambridge, where Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones studied, family members mourning their loved ones. A man who suffers from paranoid schizophrenia has been found not guilty of murdering three pensioners by reason of insanity. The 28-year-old killed one man and two twin brothers within hours of each other in Exeter in February. Those are the headlines. More at 6. Mish Dolan Mercer, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
27 minutes before 6 now.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From Ronald's Way Met Office, the word is no warnings out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours, but on the island, dry and cloudy with a moderate west-northwesterly, the overnight minimum 5 degrees, warmer than it has been. For Tuesday, Jemert, we're looking at dry and sunny with a strengthening southwesterly, daytime maximum 9 degrees, dry overnight down to 8 degrees. And Jacrane, Wednesday, a dry, cloudy morning, then outbreaks of rain in the afternoon on a moderate to fresh southwesterly, up to 10 during daylight hours, the overnight minimum 7 Celsius. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 16 minutes past 8. Low water this evening is at a quarter to 10. The overnight high tide, 22 minutes before 4.
If you have failed double glazing units, Manx Glass and Glazing can help. Call 674 573.
Earlier on today on Manx Radio, we heard Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw, who wants Timwood to consider a national insurance rebate concept. He wants to see those earning below the minimum wage, the living wage, to be able to keep more of their own money rather than relying on benefits. Manx Radio's news editor Tim Glover spoke to the Treasury Minister Alf Cannon this afternoon, and his view...
Well, I can only assume that Chris Robertshaw has become giddy with UK election fever, because what he's proposing to Timwood is absolute madness when you start analysing it. Effectively, having costed out his proposals to rebate national insurance to those earning below the so-called living wage, it amounts to a £9 million raid, effectively, on the state pension fund. And we've only just returned the national insurance fund back to a level of providing a surplus on its day-to-day operations. Chris Robertshaw should know that during the time that he was a minister, that fund was running annual deficits on its operating balance of between 14 and 22 million pounds.
So you're not being stubborn.
In the last 3 years of this administration, we've returned that to surplus. We've reduced significantly the numbers of people who are unemployed, so we're down to less than 1% of the working population, so numbers are very, very low there. And secondly, I think a lot of the policies that we put around that to raise the wages for those on lower incomes, including raising the minimum wage, increasing the personal tax allowances, providing better support for them and their families when it comes to child benefit, when it comes to nursery provision, when it comes to university provision, has helped support a good return for the Treasury and has helped stabilise the National Insurance account. But we're not in a position to start giving away cash. This pays the state pension. It would automatically bring a level of instability to the National Insurance account, bring a level of political meddling, undue political meddling, which would mean the actuaries, every time they come along every 5 years to forecast how long is left in the National Insurance Fund, in the state pension, and how many years of existence we've got with it, would mean that the projections would be all over the place. So I'm absolutely against Mr. Robert Shaw's proposals. They don't actually solve anything for the lower paid, and we're much better off using the broader benefits system to help support those with lower incomes. And just finally, and as a matter of principle, I believe that everybody should make a contribution towards their state pension, and also have access to the range of other benefits that are available to people in hard times.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSell. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations.
Should the morning after pill be available to buy across the counter? The latest report from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists believes it should, and so does Ramsay MHK Dr. Alex Allenson. On today's Man in Line, Dr. Allenson spoke about women's access to reproductive health services on the Isle of Man and how he believes it's better than in the UK.
I think in the United Kingdom there is a stress on the National Health Service and people aren't getting the services they need. We know on the Isle of Man that there's less stress, although it's still there, and certainly what we need to do is beef up the support for GPs, practice nurses and family planning clinics, increase accessibility so that women can get the contraceptive advice they need and that's right for them, because we now have more different ways of contraception than ever before, but it's actually having that discussion, getting those options, which is so important for women.
And the treatment of women's health spans obviously physical health and mental health, because an unwanted pregnancy can blight lives, mm-hmm. not only the life of the woman involved, but also people around her. And obviously, if a child then appears, then there's all sorts of problems that will come down the future. It's essential that the woman is at the centre of the whole equation.
I think you're quite right. What their report is asking for is the decriminalisation of abortion. So it's put taken from the criminal justice system into the healthcare system. Now, that's what we've done on the Isle of Man. When you look back at our history, back in the 1960s and 70s, the Isle of Man had one of the highest suicide rates for pregnant women. And a lot of that was attributed to those women not having the choice, not being able to have decent abortion services, decent, even being able to talk to it with somebody else without feeling criminalised. We've come a long way now, but I think we can do more in terms of the abortion services that are already happening on the Isle of Man to make them more accessible. And this isn't about convenience at all. It's just meaning that people have that knowledge and have that choice and that ability to access services when they need it at the right time for them.
Life is going to happen. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks, life will always happen. As you say, that change in legislation brought the Isle of Man ahead of the UK as well. Do you have any ethical misgivings about that change?
None at all. The change in the abortion legislation for the Isle of Man was long overdue. It actually, ethically, is exactly the right thing to put the choice in the hands of the woman, but also decriminalise abortion so that we can then create a service that serves our society.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bat McCree left Heysham at 14 minutes past 2 this afternoon. We'll be arriving in Douglas shortly before 6 o'clock tonight, turning around, leaving at 7.45, heading to Heysham, arriving there at about 11:30. Of course, the Manan and the Fastcraft is laid up for the winter. She'll resume her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th next year, the first sailing of the year, to Dublin scheduled for March 28th and Belfast for April the 8th.
Book now for 2020 at steam-packet.com.
This is Manx Radio, and this is Update. I'm Andy Wint, through until 6 o'clock tonight, and then after 6 o'clock, What Matters Most with John Moss. More of that later. The Isle of Man featured on the Today programme on BBC Radio 4 this morning. Mixed-sex couples can give notice for a civil partnership from today in England and Wales and can register it from New Year's Eve. The same arrangement's been available on the Isle of Man since July 2016. Indeed, chair of the Equal Civil Partnerships campaign, Martin Lotz, only too aware of this, and spoke to Michelle Hussain.
Good morning.
And there's an immediate impact for you because you entered into a civil partnership with your partner, Claire, on the Isle of Man a few years ago, and you're now recognised.
That's right, because today, the 2nd of December, is the first day that mixed-sex civil partnerships will become recognised in England and Wales. And for most people, that means going to register office and serving notice to actually sign for one on the 31st of December. But for myself and my partner, because we're already in a recognised civil partnership on the Isle of Man, that actually changed for us this morning at 1 minute past midnight.
So How does it feel?
Doesn't feel particularly different, because that's the whole point of the civil partnership regime, Michelle. It's not particularly fussy. There aren't that many trappings. There isn't that much excitement around them. It's more the recognition of your legal relationship with your partner coming into law, and that's what we wanted, and that's what we've got.
You get certainty under the law. And you've been together for a long time. Why did you not want to get married?
We decided not to get married after a few years of our relationship, when we knew we wanted to be together. We felt marriage just wasn't for us. We particularly don't like the idea of having to take a vow to pledge the quality of the relationship. We regard ourselves as what you call the happily unmarried, and we've been together for 28 years, as I say, two children, a house and a dog. It kind of works for us, and all we really needed is a legal footing so that we have the same rights as other couples when it comes to pensions, children's rights, inheritance tax and so on.
It is often the case that once these changes come into effect, and I'm thinking of same-sex marriage, civil partnerships also, as they were originally envisaged, they start to appear obvious to many people. You know, this must have been a change that would have come. But has it been a very difficult one to fight for?
Well, it's been a very difficult fight, that's true. There was a legal battle that ended up in the Supreme Court that went our way with a judgment of 5-0. That was 18 months ago. And then eventually the Conservative government came round to seeing sense and backed a private member's bill by an MP called Tim Lawton, who deserves a lot of credit, and the actual law change was signed off on the 5th of November. So yes, a long struggle, but you're absolutely right. We're on the cusp of a new social institution. The government's own estimates are for up to 84,000 couples entering into a mixed-sex civil partnership in 2002. We may look back on this day as the start of a completely new social construct, which has gained great currency and will be popular for years to come.
It's interesting to explore that. Are you in favour of the idea that, what about siblings who've lived together for years? Could they enter into a civil partnership so that they don't have to pay the kind of estate duties that come in after death?
It's a valid point. It's a different battle. They're welcome to start their own campaign with the energy and vigour and effort that the Equal Civil Partnerships campaign that
not
I
a
chair
battle for you,
has
then.
Put in. Not a battle for us to fight, no. That's another day. We're just celebrating today for all the mixed-sex relationship couples that can enter into a civil partnership this month.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
With the markets having done their best to maintain a positive outlook on the US-China situation despite Hong Kong becoming a political pawn, the President of the United States has added two more adversaries to his trade war portfolio. Delivering the news via where else? Twitter. The President said that effective immediately he'd be restoring tariffs on steel and aluminium imports from Brazil and Argentina, claiming those countries have been presiding over a massive devaluation of their currencies that wasn't good for American farmers. He also criticised the Federal Reserve about lowering rates and loosening monetary policy to weaken the dollar.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today.
It's a 6:15 on Update.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Global stocks dropped on the first day of trading of December as investors digested a disappointing economic data, along with the latest trade news after capping a month that featured blistering gains. At the close, the FTSE 100 was down 1% at 7,285. The DAX in Frankfurt down 2% at 12,964. In New York, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones was down about a percent at 27,846. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 1.25% at 8,559. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down a percent at 3,118. On the exchange markets, the pound was worth $1.29.3 and €1.16.7. Gold about the same at $1,463 an ounce, and Brent crude down a percent at $61.22 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House Athol Street or visit our website ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Good evening and thank you for joining Update on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint. A minute's silence has been held for the two people stabbed to death in the London Bridge terror attack. Usman Khan was the man who carried out the attack. Two Cambridge graduates were murdered before police shot Khan dead. He was previously jailed for a terror plot and released early, which has put renewed focus on rehabilitation of extremists. Legal commentator Joshua Rosenberg gave the background to the situation.
He was convicted of acts preparatory to terrorism, plotting a terrorist attack. It never got any further than that. He was stopped by the security services. He was sentenced to detention because he was under 21 for an indeterminate sentence of public protection for 8 years. And the idea was that he would then be considered for release by the parole board to see if it was safe. That was changed by the Court of Appeal to a sentence involving a custodial element of 16 years on the basis that he would be let out after 8 years, but crucially, let out automatically and not with any question about whether it was safe.
Right, but he was first sentenced while Labour was in power, that's true.
He was sentenced, actually, when the Conservatives were in power, but he was sentenced under policies that were brought in by a previous Labour government.
Yes, so thank you for correcting that. And what exactly changed, then, when you say the Court of Appeal actually upheld what was being brought forward by his legal team? How did that change what eventually happened?
He was tried with other people. He was accused of a plot to create terrorist bases abroad. Other people were accused of a plot to blow up the Stock Exchange in London. They got fixed sentences. He got an indefinite sentence. The Court of Appeal decided that the two offences, however different, were comparable and therefore they ought to get the same sort of sentence, and therefore his indefinite sentence was changed to a fixed sentence, which amounts to about the same length, but with a supervision order at the end of it.
Right, so he was out on licence, but he was being supervised.
He was being supervised. We're told that he even had to get permission to come to London to attend this conference at Fishmongers Hall last Friday. He was tagged, he was supervised. So the question really is, can the system actually predict that somebody who has been convicted of a terrorist offence, who appears to have become rehabilitated in prison, isn't rehabilitated at all but is still a potential terrorist?
What about the other 70 or so convicted terrorists who have been released and are out on our streets?
Robert Buckland, the Justice Secretary, told the BBC this morning that their cases are all being reviewed, not just a paper review, but they're being looked at. In other words, the question is whether they have breached any terms of their licences, and we're told one has and he's been recalled to prison, and the others are being considered to see whether the conditions that have been set for them are sufficient. But ultimately, you're trying to predict what people are going to do, and it can never be certain.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
This is Update on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint, and after the 6 o'clock news tonight, the second in our What Matters Most series, hosted by John Moss. And tonight, John, the subject is...
climate change. And we have quite a lineup exploring climate change. Joni Farragher, the Manx Labour Party's Greens Issues Coordinator. Mike Rose, his expertise lies in recycling. Graham Makepeace-Warne of Manx Wildlife Trust. A lot of things happening with animals and creatures, which people are saying is to do with climate change, so that'll be interesting exploring. And obviously a voice of the young, if I can put it that way, Archie Elliott of the Student Climate Network, who has already appeared quite often on various TV channels and various radios, and is making himself very much a presence here.
What progress are you hoping to make in the debate?
It's interesting, you know, if you look back on this subject, really explore it, even going back to 535 AD was apparently not a good year to be about, because it was a horrible year because of the weather, apparently. And as you go through the centuries, you find there are instances where there were ice ages and years in which an enormous explosion, 1883, Krakatoa exploded, that put dust all over the earth for a year, and the climate was horrible. And you start asking yourself, well, is this something that happens normally? Or now that we've got 7 billion people, now that we're putting 30 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide into the air every year, is this heading towards a tipping point? Are we going to a situation the earth has never experienced before?
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Dolan Mercer.
Fastamai. John Kenish has successfully defended the 2019 Fowler & Co. Champion of Champions snooker title. He defeated Sean Corkish 8-6 in a tight final this weekend, held at Finch Hill Bowling and Snooker Club in Douglas. Played over two sessions, Kenish led 4-3 going into the evening's play, and then won three of the next four frames to lead 7-4, needing just one more to take the victory. Corkish fought back hard to take the next two, but Kenish quashed any hopes of a comeback to win 8-6 and add another tournament victory to his growing list of accolades. Veteran shooters John Moore and Peter Fabrizio were the victors in the second round of the Winter Sporting League, held at Miri Veg in Santon this weekend. 22 competitors entered in near ideal conditions. The duo both amassed 40 points in classes A and B, respectively. And in the final standings, Dave Lally finished second behind Moore in the A class, 4 points back on 36, followed by George Davies on 35. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
No problems reported on the Matrix signs across the Isle of Man tonight. On the roads, main road in Colby has got temporary 24-hour three-way traffic signals for highway drainage work. Drodfell Road in Port Erin's got temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signals. They're mending the gas main there. And culvert repairs at Wren Cullen, 24-hour two-way traffic signals. King Edward Road, Onken to Groundle again, temporary three-way 24-hour traffic signals to enable railway works. All the stuff happening at Glen Road in Laxey, of course, through till February of next year. But Laxey, they assure me, and you, is open for business. The Curragh Road, St John's, has got roadworks closure there between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Access to the tip is via the Hope. All the trains, boats, buses, planes and roadworks on the ongoing saga of the Magical Mystery Tour that is Douglas Promenade at manxradio.com and via the Community tab, a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man. From Ronald's Way, everything's coming in slightly ahead of time. Everything is leaving okay as well. The 10 past 5 London City was just 7 minutes late leaving, and the 25 to 6 Dublin flight left 3 minutes early. The later departures to Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick look to be on time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Hundreds of people joined in a special ceremony at Hospice Isle of Man last night to remember lost family and friends. The annual Light Up a Life service had music from Douglas Town Band and the Hospice Choir, and the Christmas tree in the Memorial Garden at the hospital was lit during the night. People had the chance to light a candle in honour of their loved ones, as Chris Pearson reports.
A crisp, clear and still December night, and there's hardly a space left free in the Memorial Garden at Hospice Isle of Man. Hundreds of family and friends have gathered at the annual event to remember and celebrate the lives of lost loved ones. Howard Callow lost his wife Mary earlier this year and shared their story during the event.
I and my family will never forget what the team meant to us during a few weeks in June 2019, the worst weeks of our lives. In the midst of the worst times and with all the specialist drugs doing their best, the focus on the patient as a special individual means so much. Hospice at Home team, may you long continue to deliver your very special service to people in need of a hug.
Afterwards, Howard explained just how important the hospice team had been to him throughout that difficult time.
That was such a big thing, that first arm around the shoulder and a big hug. It felt very strange and not a position I ever wanted to be in, but it was very moving to see so many people here, every one of whom, as Anne said earlier, has their own story, and I feel very humble that my story was picked out this year. I had something to say, and I hope it resonated with people that, you know, what I went through was a little bit of what all these people have been through.
Karina Ives is one of the Hospice at Home staff nurses who helped support Howard and his family at the time.
I think when Hospice at Home gets involved, or the team gets involved, I think it gives people comfort when they see us walk through the door, that they have, as Howard said, an arm around the shoulder. They have somebody they can talk to. It's not all gloom and doom. We do have a bit of a giggle, don't we? Mm-hmm. And it's just somebody there for the people who are in distress, who are grieving, and they have people to talk to.
Alexandra Slater had support from the hospice team when she lost her grandfather last year. She was so grateful for their support that she now helps them with their fundraising.
It did so much for me. Well, I'm actually hospice ambassador, so it's an amazing role to do. So I put on lots of shows for hospice. I try and raise as much money as I can, and I try and get the word out for hospice, because they are truly amazing. As my granddad used to say, they are walking angels here.
Hundreds of people remembered lost loved ones on the night by lighting flameless tea lights as the memorial garden tree was lit. The Light Up a Life campaign will run at the hospice until early January. And if you'd like to sponsor a light in celebration of a loved one who lit up your life, you can find out more via Hospice Isle of Man's website or Facebook pages.
An amazing night. Thanks to producer Sarah Hendy, newsreader Dollar Mercer. I'm Andy Wint, and another update tomorrow, Tuesday night.